So the kids actually have two more songs to do for us, but before we get to those, I wanted to share with you what it was that we talked about this week at Vacation Bible School. As you could probably tell from the songs and some of the decorations you saw in the video, it was a galactic theme. We talked about the sun and the stars and the galaxies and the planets and all those things. And what we began with is explaining to the kids that God is the one who created all that. If we look at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says, the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And then this amazing thing happens. God said, let there be light. And there was the light. And as we continue to read that chapter, we see that God said, let there be sky. And there was sky. And God said, let there be fish, and there was fish. And God said, let there be birds, and there was birds. And God said, let there be animals to fill up this whole earth, and there was animals everywhere. And then it came time to make man. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, something very different happens. After God speaks all of creation into existence, all of a sudden the story slows down. And God comes down to his creation. And he kneels down in the dirt and he gathers up some mud and he forms man. And then he does something amazing. He breathes his breath of life into man. So from the very beginning of creation, there's something special. God has a special plan for us. We're different than all of the other creation. We're made in his image. We have his breath in our lungs. Why did he do that? Well, we find out as the story goes on that God takes Adam and Eve and he puts them in a garden, a beautiful garden. And in the garden is everything they could ever want. It's the perfect place. All the food they need is right there. The Bible even tells us that water comes up from the ground and waters everything. All they have to do is live in this garden and eat all the beautiful fruit. And then in Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it tells us that there's a couple different trees in the garden. There's the tree of life, which as long as they live in the garden, they eat from the tree of life and there is no death and there is no sickness and they live for eternity. But there's another tree in the garden. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God sets that tree there, and in verses 15 through 17, he says, don't ever eat from that tree, because as soon as you eat from it, you will die. Death will enter this world. Now, a lot of people wonder, why did God set them up with this tree? If it's a perfect world, why is there the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You know what the answer to that is? It's because God wants a relationship with mankind. That's why he created us special in the first place. I told the youth kids during our lesson one day during the week, that if I wanted to be friends with you, and so I kidnapped you and tied you up and locked you in my basement, would we be friends? No, because I have just forced you to be with me. You have no choice. But God created us with a choice. The Bible says that Adam and Eve walked in the cool of the evening in the garden with God every single night. God said, you can live with me here forever, or you cannot. The choice is yours. You see, that's a relationship. And so we all know how that story plays out, right? A sneaky little snake with a sneaky little smile and a sneaky little face tempts Adam and Eve. And he says, surely that's not really what's going to happen. Don't believe God. And so they ate, and then death and sin entered the world and sickness and all the things we deal with today. And so then in the Old Testament and the Bible, we have what we call the sacrificial system. What God does is he says, okay, if you're going to sin and you still want a relationship with me, then I'm going to provide a way that you can repay, you can make restitution for your sin. A good example of this is Leviticus chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. It says, if someone incurs guilt in one of these cases, he is to confess he has committed that sin. He must bring his restitution for the sin he has committed to the Lord. A female lamb or goat from the flock as a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement on his behalf for his sin. Now, if you drive over the speed limit, what's going to happen? You're going to get a speeding ticket, and they can get really expensive. You got to pay for them. If you steal something, what happens? You go to jail. You see, there's something intrinsic in mankind. We understand that when you've done something wrong, you must make restitution. It must be paid for. And so there's an Old Testament system that God sets up that he says, when you sin, when you do something wrong, you can come and you can make payment for that. You can make restitution for that. You will give up something that's important to you in order to pay for that sin. But throughout the whole Old Testament, what happens? Man continues to sin and sin and sin. And we get to the end of the Old Testament and there's a realization that it doesn't matter how many goats or doves or chickens or dollars or cars. It doesn't matter what I pay back. I will never be able to make up for my sins. And that's where Jesus enters the story. All the things we know about the beginning of the New Testament, the Christmas story about Mary and Joseph, about the angels and about Jesus coming in. And something really important happens at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In John chapter 1, verse 29, when John the Baptist sees Jesus coming, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." What he means there is this is the restitution. This is the payment for all of us. The payment that we could never pay back. This is it. This is Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. He was 100% man and 100% God 100% of the time he walked on earth. And as he did that, he lived a perfect life. He never sinned, even though he was tempted in every way. Now, I've been tempted a lot in my life, but I have not been tempted in every way. Jesus was tempted in every way, but was without sin. And so he is the only one who deserved to escape suffering and death. And yet, what did he do? He suffered and he died for us, to make payment for us. And then was resurrected on the third day, victorious over sin and death, and seated at the right hand of God. So what do we do now? Well, in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, here's what it says. On the contrary, what does it say? The message is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. If we confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with his heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. So the story goes that from the very beginning, God created us to have a relationship with us. He wanted us to be with him for all eternity, and yet we messed that up. And he provided a second chance, and we messed that up. And he provided a third, fourth, and fifth chance, and we messed that up. And then finally, he provided Jesus. God opened up a way that does not depend on me. God opened up a way so that every single one of us could come back to him. We could once again walk in the cool of the evening with God and talk with God and live with God for all eternity, the way he created it from the beginning. But there's something really important about what we read in Romans chapter 10. We have to believe and confess. Now you might ask, if Jesus came and he's the Lamb that takes away the sins, how come now that Jesus has come, why doesn't everybody just go to heaven? Why doesn't everybody just automatically go? Remember at the beginning I told you, if I tie you up and lock you in my basement, do we have a relationship? No. Listen to this part very carefully. God has provided a way through Jesus Christ, and there is nothing we can do to earn a place with God. We cannot. We are sinful, broken, fallen people. Doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter how hard you work. You cannot make your way back to God, but God has opened up one way. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." God has opened up a way back. Now, if someone gives you a gift, do you pay them back for it? You ask, how much was this gift? I need to pay you back for it. No, what do? You accept it. That's all that's left. The only thing that's left. God has given you that free gift. You can't earn it. You can't pay him back for it. But you can accept it. That's the last song that the kids sang about. We did our ABCs. Who remembers what A is?
Admit.
That's right. Good job, buddy. Admit that you're a sinner. What's B?
Believe.
Good job. And what's C?
Confess.
That's right. First of all, we have to admit that we need a Savior. We have to recognize the fact that I cannot earn my way back to God. I am a sinner. I was given free choice, and that's what I chose. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then we believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. He's God in the flesh, that he died for me and my sin, and that he was raised on the third day victorious and seated at the right hand of God. I believe that. And then the last part is confess. Now, when we think confession, we usually think about admitting our sins. That's the first one. This is different. Confession is acknowledging these things with our mouth. Simply saying, God, I understand, I know, I believe in your salvation, and I need that salvation. That's the story of God's incredible love for us. And so with that thought, the kids are going to do another song here in a minute. This is actually my favorite song from the week. And so we're going to invite them to come back up and sing this song for us.